keeping the love command that God said for, I don't know, probably 8-9 weeks, something like that. Last week, it seemed like I was off of it, but I wasn't. We talked about tithing, and we talked about offering, and we talked about, we went all the way back to Cain and Abel, right? How they brought an offering to the Lord, and how that Abram, he tithed to Melchizedek, which is a representation of Jesus. And we talked about how Jacob, he vowed to give a tithe to God if God would bless him and do what he promised to do. This morning, we're going to put the title as How to Do the Love Commandment. So if you got your Bible, let's look at John 13. If you've been here a while, you should be able to quote this one without going to it, but we want to look at it. It's in red letters too, right? Red letters are supposed to be what Jesus said. So John 13, verse 34. And most of these, if not all of them, will be in the Amplified Bible. If you don't have an Amplified, Beth will put it on the screen for us. Verse 34, he said, I give you a new commandment. He said that you should love one another. How? Just as I have loved you. That is a mouthful. That will give you a lifetime of doing to live. Amen? But he says, just as I have loved you. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples, right? So he's saying, love the brethren. He says, so you too should love one another. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Now, we've done been over this, and we talked about it's not your tithing that's going to show your love, right? It's not your going to church, even though we do go to church, right? If we've been born again, we have the desire, and we know we're supposed to go to church, right? Assemble ourselves together. So we do that. But everything that we do other than this loving each other is not what shows people that we are his disciples. He says, by this love that you show toward one another, he said, all men are going to know that you're my disciples. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4. We've been believing God for this one, right? We are, so I'm glad you're on the page with me. Y'all ain't been believing God for this one? Well, we've been missing it the whole time then. Because according to 1 John 4:8, God is love. And he says in this one, he's going to teach us, right? So there's no better teacher than love himself. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to start reading, for time's sake, in verse 9. Now, he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's talking about the Macedonians. He says, but concerning brotherly love for all other Christians, you have no need to have anyone write you. Now, we talked about last week how that God said he would no longer write his word on tables of stone, right? But he would write them within our hearts. So if you've been born again, he's writing them within our hearts. Amen? So he says, for all other Christians, you have no need to have anyone write you, for you yourselves have been personally taught by God to love one another. He says, and indeed you already are extending and displaying your love to all the brethren throughout Macedonia. But we beseech and earnestly exhort you, brethren, that you excel in this matter more and more. What's that mean? Get better and better at it, right? Greater and greater. One of the ways we've talked about it before, you know, if you want to build muscle, you need to eat protein and stuff. But what's one of the main things you got to do? Work out. I know Samantha was saying something about I could go to the gym with her or something. I don't remember now what she said. I think loading the couch or something was to it. Said something about me going to the gym with her. And Beth said, well, she's got a gym on my back porch or whatever. I got some equipment out there. And I said, yeah, I look at it every time I go by. You can tell by looking at me, I'm not using it. I used to use it, but you can tell now I'm not using it, right? Well, that's how we do this. The way we excel at this is we use that. Why? According to Scripture, according to Romans 5:5, the love of God, the day you got born again, has been poured out or shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? So we can't say we don't have it. According to Galatians 5:22-23, it says the first one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is in our spirits is the love of God. So we can't say we don't have it, so there's no need in us praying for what we already got, because you can't get something you already got. But you can exercise it. You can grow it, right? And that's what he's saying here, and we have that here. We have fruits and showing that we love one another, but how many knows God's telling us, excel at this love. Love each other more and more, and I'm going to teach you how to do that. And this morning, I believe if we can get to it, God's going to show us how to do that even more. So we should excel in loving the brethren, right? Who's my brethren? What? That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, remember whenever he was in there and he was teaching, and the disciples and his family, they come over there and they said, hey, you mama and your brothers and them's out here. Y'all remember that? What'd he say? He said, these are my brothers, my sisters, right? The ones that does the will of God. So Jesus is the one that makes the distinction, not us. Amen? So he says we're supposed to excel at loving the brethren. Not that we don't love people that are lost. The Bible says, I believe it's over in Galatians, it says, anytime we have opportunity, do good. But then he goes on and he says, especially to those of the brethren, right? So we're never to be bad to people. We're never to be mean to people. We're never to do people wrong in any way or whatever. But he says that this kind of love, he said, let it excel among the brethren. All right, let's go on here. All right, these I'm going to quote because we've done been over them several times, or I wouldn't have time to get to where I want to go this morning. Now, we saw that this love of God, it prefers the brethren above itself, right? We looked at that over in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. Remember we talked about that? What you like better? What do you prefer, Samantha, Coke or Sprite? Sprite. What's that mean? Coke didn't get picked, right? Coffee or tea, Sandy? Tea. What's that mean? Coffee didn't get picked. So if I'm going to prefer my brethren the way the Bible tells me to, what's that mean? If it comes down between me and Sandy, or me and Scotty, or whoever, like y'all heard the story, you know, God started telling him, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And remember his first thought? I can't do that. She'll take advantage of me. That's the first thing the flesh says. Love doesn't say that, right? The Apostle Paul said, I will gladly, right, spend and be spent for your sake. In other words, if it's going to do you good, if it's going to bring you blessing, if it's going to prosper you in some way. Well, the story was, you know, I've always liked sweets, you know, and he ain't ever really been a big sweet eater, but anyway, he's going to work, and there's only one brownie up there in the cabinet, and he's going to grab it to go to work to eat for lunch or snack or whatever he wants it for, and he sees there's one, and he leaves it for me. What is that? That's preferring me above himself. See, the world and a lot of Christians has love mixed up today. They don't even know what it is. They think love is a feeling. No, search the scriptures from beginning to the end. You will never find that love is a feeling. According to 1 John 4:8, God himself is love. God's not a feeling, right? He's a person. Well, love is not a feeling because, see, it's kind of like this. We told Travis, you better pick the right one, buddy. Because when you get married, that's it. Oh, we're getting way too quiet. We'll hear much of this today. Today, even in a lot of the churches, it's, well, if I don't feel like I love you anymore, you know. What is that song? I've lost that loving feeling. Y'all remember that song? I know y'all don't, probably. But anyway, well, I look at Sandy and Doris and some of the others. There used to be a song that says, I've lost that loving feeling. It says, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what it is. Well, how many knows if you've lost it, if you once had it, you can get the feeling back. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, he says that you have lost your first love. Go and do your first works over again. What's that mean? I've been married for 40 years this August. I can't tell you how many feelings. I've probably invented some feelings. I wouldn't doubt it. I've had some good ones. I've had some bad ones. I've had some high ones. I've had some low ones. I've had some what's felt like hate, and I have had some so much I love you, I wished I could be inside of you. What is that? Up and down, up and down. I mean, those love is never up and down. Why? God is love. Because love is not a feeling. Your feelings, you can be sitting in this service and not eat breakfast and think, man, I'd like to have that for lunch today. Go home and see a piece of cold pizza or whatever your thing is or whatever and be like, I'd rather have this. What is that? Well, I thought you wanted this. Yeah, but I feel like this. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. By an act of my will, I choose to love my husband. And that's not a feeling. How many knows, according to Scripture, you can feel like slapping somebody and walk in the love of God toward them? We're actually commanded to, right? He says, love your enemies. Now, in the flesh, nobody wants feels like doing that. You want to do all, you got all kinds of feelings, all kinds of thoughts. But how many knows we're called to bless when we're cursed, right? When we're persecuted, when we're done wrong and all this stuff. And see, if we do it right, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love thinks no evil, but is ever ready to think the best of every person. Even if you got some bad thoughts, you got some bad feelings, by an act of your will, you can choose to think good about them. The Bible says love covers, right, in the book of Proverbs and other places. What's that mean? It means I don't go around telling your stuff. Ooh-wee. This is a big one in the church. Because we like to talk. A lot of us. Boy, we like to talk. Probably need to do a little fasting. I don't know about y'all, but I can start fasting a half a day, and I'm like, Scotty's like, what's the matter with you? Sip. I don't want to talk. I don't want to do nothing. I mean, it's like, it doesn't seem to take me very long either. My flesh just like starts screaming and getting in the floor, rolling up in the ball and saying, please, if you'll just eat, I won't do nothing else wrong. Whew, y'all are quiet. So love covers. It don't go telling everybody's stuff. And see, well, a lot of times what people like to do in the church is pray for, tell everybody's stuff that they did wrong, what they're going through. I mean, the Bible says love doesn't do that. God doesn't run around telling y'all all my stuff, and I have stuff. God doesn't run around telling me all y'all stuff, and y'all got stuff, regardless of how cute you look this morning. Why? We all got issues somewhere, right? Ooh, we're hot today. All right, did we finish reading all that? We did, didn't we? What were we even on? Y'all don't remember it? Oh, I'm quoting it, right? No wonder y'all don't know where we are. We talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. We saw there that the love of God prefers others over itself. What's that mean? If it comes down to me and you, I pick you every time. And when you study that out, the word prefer, what it means is you take the lead. I talked about it this way, for those of you that wasn't here, just to make an example. Say you go out, you ask somebody to go out and eat with you or whatever, or you just go out and eat with somebody, you know, and the check comes. You're not the one that starts fumbling through your purse. Hello, I guess I left my checkbook at home, you know. Or you just kind of slide the check over that way. I know none of y'all would ever do that. Why? It means I take the lead. If I'm a Christian and I'm going to be exercising and walking in the love of God toward the brethren or whoever, then I take the lead. I grab that check up and I go and I pay for it before anybody else has the opportunity to. Amen? We said Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. We saw here that the love of God that is within us, it esteems the brethren or others more highly than itself. What's that mean? It's not that you're better than me, but I'm going to treat you like you are. Right? If there's anything good, I'm going to make sure you get it before me. And see, a lot of people, when they think about this or whatever, they think, oh, yeah, we just sacrifice for the Lord. Just sacrificing for Jesus. Oh, I've been on sacrificing nearly 30 years now. You're not doing it right. Because we've already read, and I don't have time to go back and read that. Like the Apostle Paul said, he said, I will gladly spend and be spent for your sake. I mean, this, you're talking to a man that at times he was beat to the point to where they absolutely thought he was dead, drug him outside of the city. And the Bible says the man gets up and goes back in there and starts preaching some more. What's that mean? I will gladly do it. I will gladly sacrifice. I will gladly think lower of myself and higher than you. Humility does that, don't it? And we're called to humility. Amen? So I will gladly go back in here, be beat again, if it's going to bring blessing to you, if it's going to cause you to hear the word of God, or if it's going to do you good. And Jesus said that his joy would remain in us when we do this the right way, motivated by the love of God. See, flesh can sacrifice, but you can always tell who's doing the sacrificing. Because flesh is, wants everybody to know about how bad you're suffering. I'm doing something today for my mama and others and whatever. And so I had to clean the building up. Y'all know, Jesus Playhouse. I had to get it cleaned up. And they said this year was one of the worst years for pollen. I believe it. I'm talking about dirt, dust, pollen, all over the place. Well, I'm up there, you know, now while I'm buying all this food and stuff, oh, I got the joy of the Lord. It's costing me. Woo, is it costing me? But anyway, I'm excited. I'm glad to do it. I got the joy of the Lord. But now about halfway through cleaning this building, when my back is hurting, I've had a headache all day long. My back is hurting. My feet is tired. I start having these thoughts. I tell you right now, there ain't nobody up here helping me. Travis could be up here helping me. They're gone on them doggone rockers. And they're wanting to have a party up here in 2 weeks. Somebody better be getting up here helping me clean this building. Y'all know what I'm talking about? What is that? Flesh. Let everybody know how bad I'm sacrificing and how everybody ought to get in line and get in here and help me. Did Jesus say, okay, all y'all disciples, get on this cross with me? Because it's costing me, buddy, every drop of my blood. Y'all better get up here and help me. No. But the Bible says in Hebrews 12, I think it's 12. Nope. Anyway, whatever it is. Y'all remember this. I think it's 13, ain't it? That it talks about how Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He talked about how that when we do this and we do it because the love of God in you, it compels you. It'll drive you to the point you can't hardly stand it. Just natural love will do that. I know whenever me and Scotty was taken, and he went to Florida to work for a while or whatever, I couldn't go to school. I couldn't eat. I would get up and I would carry, now I'm 13 years old. I would carry his picture from the bedroom to the bathroom when I would go to take a bath, back from the bathroom, back to the bedroom, wherever I went, I'm toting his picture. I can't hardly stand it, Johnny. He's crying in the shower every night, writing me letters. Why? This natural love on the inside of us is compelling us, drawing us to one another. How much more the love of God within us? It causes you to do sacrifice, but to you, it's not even a sacrifice. It's giving you great joy and pleasure to do it. But the flesh wants everybody to know my sacrifice and what they should be doing. Right? So we can see the contrast of the two. Now, we talked about... get my glasses back on here. I can't hardly breathe with these things on. I don't know what that's got to do with it, but that's how I feel. Love humbles and lowers itself according to John 13, 1 through 7, right? In its own estimation. The Bible says think more highly of others than what we do ourselves. Now in that scripture there in John, what that was the Lord's Supper. Didn't Jesus, the Lord Almighty, head of the church, lower himself? Humble himself, the Bible says, he stripped off his garments, put on a servant's towel, and what? Began to wash feet. At that time, their feet were some of the dirtiest parts of their entire body. Amen? So he humbled himself. So we see the love of God, it's humble. It's not proud, right? 1 Corinthians 13 says it's not proud. We talked about in John 21, verses 15 through 17, that love takes care of and provides for others. Jesus told Peter there, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I do. What'd he say? Feed my sheep. He goes on, he says it three times. He said, take care of them, right? When you look that up, it means feed them, take care of them, nurture them. And that's not just a pastor's job. How many knows we all do that in here to a certain degree? When we know one is hurting, we come, can we lift you up? Is there, we give you encouraging words. If there's something that you need or whatever, we try to meet that need, right? So that's not just a pastor's job. That's the body's job. He says if we love him, then what? We're going to do that. Amen? So let's see here. Love sacrifices. According to John 15, verses 12 through 13, love sacrifices itself. And it's glad to do it. Let's look here at, let's read that John 15. I told Travis and Beth and I told the kids, I don't remember if Aiden was in the room or not, but Aubrey was, and I told them, I said, I'm fixing to take the kids shopping. And the kids were like, yay! Flesh always says yay when you think you're going to get something, don't it? Anyway, I told them, I said, we're fixing to go shopping. I said, and I'm going to let them, the store, will take it. Buy anything you want to buy. Now, one gift, but anything in this store that you would like to have. And they're like, oh, yeah. I said, and then what we're going to do, we're going to go home, and you're going to take it to school, and you're going to give it to the person that has ever been the meanest to you. Y'all, come on. We don't hear this stuff much. Most of what we hear is prosperity, blessing, and it's all through the Bible. But how many knows that as Christians, the Bible talks about guard yourself against greed. Guard yourself against covetousness. And we're going to get into some of that later on. But the Bible says love your enemies, right? Do good to those who persecute you. Bless them, right? And what better way to keep yourself out of greed and covetousness and hatefulness? Amen. The Bible says overcome evil with what? Good. Some of the kids may be laying on the floor with their tongue hanging out. I don't know, because they're like, what? Plus, it'll help them. Amen. Because them kids, they have no need of nothing. They lack absolutely nothing. They are highly blessed. But here in John 15, you know, and it might do good for some of us to do the same thing. Oh, you didn't just tell me to do that. I can't believe that. Well, I didn't tell you. The Bible did. John 15, verse 12. This is Jesus talking. Now, we're only reading part because, I mean, I only have 45 minutes. Y'all can go back and read whole chapters. But in verse 12, this is Jesus talking again. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You cannot do this kind of love in the flesh. You can't do this kind of love but not being born again. Why? You don't have it. It's not in you. And you can only do this in the Spirit. Right? So you can't do this without loving God first. Right? Because He's the one that gives us the love. Amen? He goes on here, verse 13. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes on talking about, you're my friends, I don't call you servants and all that. But notice what it says. Love sacrifices itself, right? For its friends or for the ones that it loves. What's that mean? Well, no, nobody's got to get on the cross and die again for your sins or anything like that. That's been done. You couldn't do that anyway. Jesus already did that. But you're moving and I got plans. Come on now. I'm going shopping. I don't go shopping much. This is an example. I mean, nobody's doing this, surely, for y'all to see what I'm talking about. I've got my plans. My plans has been made for an entire month. I've done got laid out where I'm going. They're having a sale, Samantha. We know she's the sale girl here. Saves Johnny lots of money. It's always on sale, ain't it, Johnny? Not picking on Samantha. I buy a lot of things that are on sale, but usually I don't buy things I don't need. That's kind of the way I am. A lot of people, they buy things and it's just like cluttered up. You can ask Scotty, he won't let me go up at his shop because there's lots we don't need up there, I don't think. But him, he needs it all sometime or another. He's got five of a certain kind of wrench. He'll go buy another one. Why? He can't find that one. 3 months later, we find four of them over yonder somewhere. But anyway, we're not getting off on that. Say you're moving. You got to be out by a certain time. All this. But I've got plans. I've had these plans for a month. I'm going shopping, and there's a big sale. And it's not going to be at any other time. What's that mean? If I'm going to love you, or you're going to love me, like Jesus loved you, what'd He do? It's the very reason He came. Right, according to Scripture. The very reason He came was to pay a price, to lay His life down for me and you and to take it up again. Nobody took it from Him, the Bible says. Nobody made Him do it. The Bible talked about how that I believe it was 12 legions of angels that He could call that would have took Him off of that cross or delivered Him in a split second. But by an act of His own will, right, number one, He loved God, and number two, He loved us with the love of God. And number three, that's how we're supposed to love one another. That's how I prefer you over me. When it comes down to you, you got something going on that can't be changed or what, my plans change. I don't find a lot of Christians today that want to do that. Right? But we're called to it. And the thing about it is, if you'll do that in the love of God, because you love, it'll give you great joy. Great joy. You'll be in there helping clean up and move and toting couches and everything, singing to the Lord and just be rejoicing in your heart. Now let's look here at First John 3. And I tell you, the younger you are that you start doing this, the easier life's going to be for you and the better your life is going to be. The absolute better. That's why I said me and my grandkids are going shopping. They won't even have to go through a lot of things that we went through. Selfishness will always cost you. And that's the greatest killer to the love of God. Right? That's the very nature of the devil himself. He is. You'll never meet a more selfish person than him. Everything, life, everything revolves around him. That's the thing that got him in trouble, right? He was more about himself than what he was about serving God. He says, I will ascend to the heavens. I'll become like the Most High God. All about me. In other words, you can say, they'll bow down to me. They'll worship me. All this stuff. Me, me, me. Joyce Myers has a saying, said the Lord told her one morning, she one of the things she'd like to do is lay in the bed, you know, and think about herself. I know none of y'all do that. The less you can think about you, the better off your life's going to be. It doesn't sound like it, but according to Scripture, and when you really do it, it is. Why? Because when I think about me, I think about everything I'm not getting, everything I don't have, everything everybody's not doing for me. How other people's got more than me, and they should be given to me. Y'all remember the story about when we started this church and Scotty told, we had nothing. Having a Bible study back there that God told him to start before we ever started, we don't even have a bathroom here. There is no water here. And we got a little corner. There's no floor here, no ceiling, no nothing. You know what I mean? This is over 20 years ago. If you had to use the bathroom, you run out there to we told him and Backley as quick as you could. Drove. Surely nobody run, but you know what I'm saying. And then you would come back. Well, God tells him to start a church. We have $300 that he had got his evangelist before he started the church. We had $300 that he had got from preaching, and that's what it cost us to put in the water meter. There was no ceiling, no nothing. So he starts thinking about himself and his ministry. Y'all ever heard, my ministry? You ain't even got a ministry. You better be thankful God even allows us to do anything, the little peons that we are sometimes. He's so gracious, amen. As the Scripture's true, it says he uses the foolish things to confound the wise or whatever. But anyway, there's nothing. We got nothing, you know, no money, no nothing, you know. Sandy's the only one we know is coming because she was coming to the Bible study and said she's going to come to the church. You know, he goes to the bank to open up a banking account for the church, and he's supposed to write everybody's name now, have them come in there and sign who's on the board, you know, or in your congregation. And he's like, I don't have a congregation. And they're like, well, you got to have a congregation. No, I don't got a congregation. We have nothing. So how many knows the devil starts talking to you? See, when we're God's sheep, we know God's voice, but we also know the voice of the devil. Why? Because it's everything God's voice is not. And when you start hearing this about you and what you ain't got and what people, it is the voice of the devil. You better resist it. You better cut it off. Why? It's going to change the way you think. Before you know it, you're going to start talking it, and then before you know it, you're going to start sinning against God and the brethren, right? Well, anyway, we have absolutely nothing. So then he starts having these thoughts. The devil starts telling him, well, Faith Restoration, now I was on, that's the church we came from. I was on the board up there, you know, and I know how many so-and-so thousands of dollars they had, which they was in a building program theirself, building fund thing or whatever. They could have given us at least $10,000. Y'all are not saying nothing. But I know what y'all are doing. Y'all looking straight ahead, not making no kind of movement, so nobody knows we're talking to you. That's what I do. Just look straight ahead. Nobody knows it's me. But he starts having this thought. Faith Restoration could have given us $10,000. Well, later on, God got him straightened out. And he said, I never told Faith Restoration to give you $10,000. I never told them to give you anything. So how can you even fault people that God never even told them to do anything? Right? And that thinking about me and my ministry and what other people should be doing for me and how I'm suffering and all this, it's absolutely wrong thinking. You better stop that. Now, what do we say? Oh, yeah, that was 1 John 3, wasn't it? Verse 11, I think I want to go to. Yeah, 11 through 18. Did I get this in the Amplified? Yeah. All right, this Amplified too. Verse 11 here. It says, "For this is the message, the announcement, which you have heard from the first, that we should love one another." He says this over and over. "And not be like Cain," we looked at that last week, "who took his nature and got his motivation." Look at that, his motivation. He says, "from the evil one and slew his brother." And why did he slay him? "Because his deeds, activities, or works were wicked and malicious, and his brothers were righteous, virtuous. Do not be surprised and wonder, brethren, that the world detests and pursues you with hatred. We know that we have passed out of death into life." How? By the fact that we love the brethren. Right? Am I reading scripture? Okay. He says, "by the fact that we love the brethren, our fellow Christians, he who does not love abides, remains, is held and kept continually in spiritual death. Anyone who hates, abominates, detests his brother in Christ is at heart a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding, persevering within him. By this," talking about the love, "we come to know, progressively to recognize, to perceive, and to understand the essential love, that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for those who are our brothers in him. But if anyone has this world's goods, resources, sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him?" Verse 18 says, "Little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity." What's that mean? I know there's been times here that I heard about somebody in here, their water was turned off. I didn't have to be led to do something about that. The King James Version says, "If you see your brother in need, how can you shut up your bowels of compassion?" Do you realize love has compassion? Well, I tell you right now, if they get out of that bed and go to work like I do, Pharisee, ain't that the stuff they would say? "Thank you, Lord, I'm not like this sinner, this publican. I tithe. I fast twice in a week." You see how the devil will talk you out of this, and even your own flesh? The reason why you are not the one to do something about it, when we are the very ones that are called. Ain't it the commandment? The head of the church gave us a commandment. What's a commandment? When you're in the army or some kind of military, navy, whatever that is, the sergeant doesn't give you a commandment and say, "if you feel like it, baby." Do they? From what I saw, they're screaming and hollering in your ear, up in your face, telling you what you're going to do. I mean, I've heard stories about where they take them out there at night, and I mean, they leave you for days, sleep deprived and different things. Why? They're getting you ready for combat, number one. They don't want you to die. But they're called to it, right? You signed up for this. Well, I signed up for be all I can be, and I think I could be better than this. Not yet. They're going to make you all you can be, but this is how you're going to get to be all you can be. Ain't that what God's doing? He's going to make us all that he's called us to be. But he's got a way to get each one of us there, and it's not if we like the commandment or not. See, it's not up to me whether you're worthy or not. If you're my brother, I'm called to help you. Now, does that mean that I got to help everybody? No, I can't help everybody in the entire world. I don't have enough finances or resources or anything like that. But I've noticed the big thing about it is, just like in here, and I find out something about it, unless God tells me don't do something about it, then I can. That's pleasing to God. But then there's other times that I have heard about something, or for some reason I don't even have to know about it. God just puts a person on my heart, says, "do this for them. Give this to them. Take them this." I have become the lotion lady of this church. Have y'all noticed? Granny, I'm sorry I forgot your lotion this morning. I didn't know you'd be here. I got you a bottle of lotion coming. I am the lotion lady of this church. Maybe that's a little thing to you. Have you looked how much that lotion is? That lotion's not cheap. I could get some of that Vaseline lotion from Dollar General, way cheaper than that. I could probably buy five or six or more bottles. But anyway, I come across this last, I don't know why I'm on this. But anyway, see, it's not the way big things. We miss it in the little bitty things. But y'all must have some dry skin. I know Johnny, he really, that man, he has the softest hands of any man, woman I have ever seen. And that's a good thing, Johnny. It's good to be soft. Oh, you know, who likes dry, cracky, you know, all that. My hands has got calluses and they're dry. Anyway, this lotion, I don't like lotion a lot of times because, you know, you use lotion, it's like greasy. And my couch is leather. I hate to lotion up, go sit on the couch, and I mean, you're just like stuck or sliding off, you know, or something like that. I don't like that. That's just me. Maybe you do. I don't care. But anyway, so I found this lotion, and it's supposed to help with that creepy, I think they say it crepe, but I call it creepy, creepy skin for us older people. I know y'all don't know, y'all young ones, you know. It's coming, so maybe you better get on your lotion now. I don't know. Anyway, that creepy skin is supposed to help, you know, with that, so you're not just creeping around everybody. Oh, God's funny, ain't he? But anyway, I really like this lotion. And when I got that lotion and I started using this lotion, I thought, man, this is great. Everybody needs some of this lotion. See how I wanted to bless you? I want you soft, Johnny. I want you soft, Samantha. So I come and I gave Mama a bottle of that lotion. I gave Sandy a bottle of that lotion. I gave Johnny and Samantha a bottle of that lotion. And she didn't even tell him where it was at. But anyway, we forgive you. She finally told him so he could use some. And he liked it or whatever. Now, I got Granny some, and I didn't bring it this morning. I forgot. But see, it's not these great big things. If you don't do these little bitty things, most of the time, you're going to miss it when it comes down to the great big things. That's why I said I try to be led whenever I come to church, just about the clothes that I wear. Number one, I'm the pastor's wife. Number two, I'm representing the Lord. I should look a certain way. Now, I'm not talking about that you got to have on a three-piece suit or not. We don't do none of that here. I mean, if that's what you want to do, whatever. But how many knows? I shouldn't come here all dirty if I can get clean, right? I shouldn't come here with, I mean, I'm not even going to say that, but anyway, looking like a wrinkle factory if I can help it. Why? I represent the Lord. You represent the Lord. Not that there's a code or anything, but how many knows? If you was going to meet the president, how would you look? How would you act? We come in the presence of somebody much greater than the president. Much greater than anybody or anything else. And we represent him. And we should do it well. Not that there's a dress code or a haircut. Most people tell me my hair, I won't brush my hair. I come to church, I don't blow dry it or whatever. And I have people after people say, oh, your hair sure does look good today. I said, yeah, it was a no brush. I brush it, they don't say nothing. Now, maybe that's just the way I can wear it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you should brush yours. I don't know. That's up to each one. My point to it is, it's not that there's a written code or something that you got to do or a religious code. How many knows the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? That word doesn't mean be afraid of him. It means reverence him. Don't you give your parents honor and respect? We should. According to the Bible, you'll live longer on the earth and you'll be blessed. Why? Because I'm your mama, I brought you in, I take you out. Y'all ever heard that one? That could be part of it, I don't know. But anyway, that's what the Bible says. You'll live long on the earth. Let's get off of that. Good grief. Let's move on here. But anyway, excuse me. He says, how can the love of God be in you? Do you realize that is the proof that the love of God is in you? That when you see the brethren in need of something, you know, I mean, I have what's called Jesus Plays House. Some of y'all saying it. Now, some people, it would mean nothing to them, think nothing. They got greater. To me, it means a lot, and God told us to build that. And I knew right then, I thought it was for us. We're going to party. I told Darcy we're going to party today, not like 1999, but 2025, because Prince ain't got nothing on us. But anyway, so I have this thing. It's called Jesus Plays House, you know. It's just a little outdoor thing with a bathroom in it and different stuff. And I got some more stuff in it now, though. But anyway, I was up there the other day, actually when I was cleaning that, when I first started, you know, when I was in the spirit, before I got to those thoughts or whatever. I'm sitting there, you know, resting a minute, and I'm just talking to the Lord, and I was thinking about, you know, the playhouse and the stuff that I have, you know, and people have way, way more than me, and people have way, way less than me, you know, usually if you look around, depending on who it is. But anyway, I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden these tears come in my eyes. And I was looking around and I was just thinking all that I have and where I was and where God has brought me from. And I'm not just talking about material things or whatever. I'm talking about my entire life. And I was thinking about what I have and how good that God has been to me. And I thought, God, how can I have all this stuff? How can I have this playhouse and all this stuff that I have, God, and not be a blessing to people? See, if you don't have that, if you can just keep hoarding to yourself, the Bible talks about a man that he got more stuff and he built him a bigger barn. Y'all remember the story? And he got more stuff. And what did he do? He said, what am I going to do? Oh, so what am I going to do? He said, I know what. I'll tear down these little ones and I'll build me an even bigger. And the Bible says the man didn't know that that very night his own soul would be required of him. And whose stuff now is it going to be? We have what we have because God has been good to us. And God has blessed. And maybe even if you feel like you ain't nothing, you're breathing. You can start there. And a key to get more is thankfulness. Right? But anyway, everything that we have, God has blessed. And what did he say he blessed Abraham? He said to make him a blessing. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You can always be a blessing to somebody. And that's what our stuff, yes. The Bible says he gives us all things richly, abundantly, right, to enjoy. But he didn't say to hoard up on ourselves. That's just like my Jesus Playhouse. Whenever God first told us to build it or whatever, I thought, oh, yeah, you know, I'll let y'all come, you know. I'll let y'all come and enjoy it with me, you know, because I know y'all, you know, our family and all of that stuff. And I was thinking it was for me. But God showed me later, he said, no. There's a reason it's called G's Playhouse, Travis. Now, Travis calls me G, and I'm not going to tell you why. Anyway, and my grandkids, they call me Grandma. So, you know, I was thinking about it one day. I thought, God, what would be a cool name for that? You know, what would we call it, God? You know, because you got down our Gulf Shores, you got the Hangout and all these other things, you know. So I'm thinking, God, what would be a cool name for that? And all of a sudden, I heard this, G's Playhouse. You know, God's name starts with G. And God commands partying. All over. New Testament says rejoice. He commanded party in certain days and months of the year and all of that. Why? Because he wants people to be blessed. It wasn't just about me. It's about everybody else that's going to get to come and enjoy and have fellowship and whatever it is that we do there, right? So whatever it is, how can the love of God be in me and me not thinking about other people when I am so blessed? If the love of God really lives in us, he says, we can't, because the love of God thinks about everybody else. Amen? I got about 4 minutes is all. I got to get to this next part. Acts chapter 4, we're going to see this in real time here, how they kept this command and how we keep it. Now listen, I'm not telling you what to do. That's the Holy Ghost's job, right? Not mine. I read the scriptures or whatever he tells me to, and you obey him, whatever he tells you to do, not to do, or anything else. But we're going to Acts chapter 4, I believe it was. I had always wondered when I would read this, God, why did they do it? They did not have a commandment to do what we're fixing to read here that they'd done. Nowhere in scripture will you find that God commanded them or the apostles told them to or anybody told them to. Right? Remember, we read last week how he'll write it on the tables of your heart. And this is their new commandment. John is the one that wrote that new commandment, right? We just read it over there in John. And then in 1 John, we read it again. And then in John 17, I believe it was, we read it again, how that this new commandment to love the brethren as I have loved you. So, the church is starting. There had never been a church before. There had been synagogues. There had been religions, right? There had never been a church. The church is just starting. There had never been brethren that was born again believers, amen, until then. So we're going to pick this up here. Now, they've been preaching. They got saved. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. They started preaching. The Bible says at certain places 3,000 in one day was added to the church. So we're going to pick it up here in verse 31 talks about how they would pray and the place was shaken and they was all filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 32, I think it is. I got this in the Amplified too. He says, now the company of believers, he says, was of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own. But everything they had was in common and for the use of all. They're keeping the commandment of the love. He goes on and he says, and with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness, and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses proceeded to sell them, and one by one they brought, gave back the amount received from the sales, and laid it at the feet of the apostles' special messengers. Then distribution was made according as anyone had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, who was surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, which interpreted means son of encouragement, sold a field which belonged to him. Now listen, some of them may have been in their heritage for years, but it means nothing to them when it comes to loving their brethren, right? He sold a field which belonged to him and brought the sum of money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge and connivance, he kept back and wrongfully appropriated some of the proceeds, bringing only a part and putting it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie to and attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit, and should, in violation of your promise, withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own use part of the price from the sale of the land? What's he saying here? And he goes on and he says, wasn't this yours to do with what you chose to? Nobody told you to do it. God didn't give a commandment that you got to go sell everything you had. We apostles didn't tell you. But see, this is what they're doing. And so they want to act like, or maybe even at the time they do, love like all the rest of them love. So we're going to do the same thing. But how many know something got in there? They promised to give this. Nobody made them do it. They promised it. But once they sold it and they got the money, honey, be real careful, Christians. Real careful. Because when you get an operation like this and the power of God, the love of God, God Himself is, things happen. And he told them, he said, you didn't have to do it. But I mean, kind of like this today, we might say, oh, look, baby, we don't got to give all this. We could add that new addition to the house you wanted. We could buy that new workout equipment. We could build the prayer room. You know God wants us to pray. We don't have to give it all. Right? What is that? Greed and covetousness. You didn't have to do it. You promised to do it. I've got to stop because our time is up. We'll continue on with this if the Lord will let us next week. But every one of us, because God loves us, God blesses us, He takes good care of us, we must guard ourselves against greed and covetousness at all times. The Bible even talks about in Timothy, he says, you rich, and most people think, he ain't talking to me. Well, go look at them kids over there in Mexico and Birmingham and different places that's sleeping under the bridges and see if you're blessed or if you're rich or not. If you had something to eat today, was able to eat, had a house to sleep in, a bed, you're rich to a lot of them. He says, be ready to distribute, right, at all times. All right, does anybody have anything they'd like to share or anything?